From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the world's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Greg Braden joins us, and let me tell you, we're going to talk about the divine matrix, bridging time, space, miracles, and belief. Just about everything you hear on Coast to Coast, except for cryptozoology, is going to be tossed into this program tonight. Well, here's some of the news of the day. Now, mark my words, this story is much bigger than being reported on the mainstream media. China last week successfully used a missile to destroy one of its older orbiting satellites in a test that could undermine relations with us and pose a threat to satellites important to our security. This is a huge story. According to a spokesperson for the National Security Council, the ground-based medium-range ballistic missile knocked an old Chinese weather satellite from its orbit about 537 miles up above Earth. The missile carried a kill vehicle and destroyed the satellite by ramming it. Aviation Week and Space Technology, and I know the editors of that magazine, first reported the test. They simply say details emerging from space sources indicate that the Chinese weather satellite launched in 1999 was attacked by their anti-satellite system launched from China. I believe future wars, future battles will be when satellite technology is crippled and knocked out. Because once that happens, they can't launch, we can't do anything. And if the Chinese are working on that, my, oh, my, oh, my. A United Kingdom hacker, we've talked about him before, who broke into dozens of U.S. military computers to find secret evidence of alien life and technology, faces up to 70 years in a U.S. prison. The 40-year-old unemployed systems administrator, and he plays music too, faces charges of attacking 97 U.S. military and NASA computers between 2001 and 2002. If found guilty, he could face up to 70 years in prison. Now, he's going to lodge what is likely to be his final appeal against extradition on February 13th. But why is this a big story today? Well, because if he is found guilty, he could be sent to Guantanamo Bay as a terrorist suspect. Now, he's got to be punished for breaking into military systems somehow. But 70 years? And truly, I believe him. He was trying to find technology and find out about UFOs and alien life. I mean, he really was. A terrorist suspect in Guantanamo Bay? Doesn't make sense. The parents of the 15-year-old boy, who was found last week in the apartment of his alleged abductor, believe that their son was sexually assaulted by his apparent captor. They told this to Oprah Winfrey. When the talk show host asked Pam and Craig Akers if they believe that their son, Sean Hornbeck, was assaulted by Michael J. Devlin, the father answered yes. During that portion of the interview, Sean, who was 11 when he was abducted, was not in the room. Devlin was arraigned Thursday on a felony kidnapping charge in the abduction of Ben Ownby, a 13-year-old who was found Friday with Sean in Devlin's apartment in a St. Louis, Missouri suburb. Devlin pleaded not guilty. He also faces charges in a neighboring county of kidnapping and using a deadly weapon in Sean's abduction. That arraignment date has not been set. Now, you know, when we have psychics on this program, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong, and I do believe it's our responsibility to point that out, and I've done that. You might remember back in January of 06, we had Sylvia Brown on the program, and I was talking with her about that Sago mine disaster, and at that moment we all thought that the miners were found alive, and she was happy about that. And I questioned her, and those of you who have listened to the program, you know what she said. Well, then later on they found out that those miners, all but one, had died, and she kind of backtracked a little bit. So we know that thing, and that hit national news, by the way, that entire story and her appearance on our program. But I want to point this out, because we're just talking about Sean Hornbeck. Famous psychic Sylvia Brown and James Van Praagh were absolutely wrong about Sean Hornbeck, as they assured his family that he was already dead. Now, Sean's abduction made national news when his story was featured on America's Most Wanted a long time ago. His family also taped episodes on the Montel Williams show when Sylvia Brown was on. They were also on a segment for the television show Beyond and another well-known psychic, of course, James Van Praagh. Both acclaimed psychics, and they both said Sean was dead, no doubt about it. I'm not going to elaborate on all the things they said, but they basically told the family that Sean was dead. They were dead wrong in this case. In Cambodia, a woman who disappeared in the jungles of northeastern Cambodia as a child has apparently been found after living in the wild for 19 years. The woman, believed to be 27 years old now, cannot speak any intelligible language. So details of her saga have been difficult to confirm. They say that she is half human, half animal. And this is the big quote from the police department there in Cambodia. They say, "She's weird. She sleeps during the day and stays up at night." Well, I guess that makes us all weird, doesn't it? Pulitzer Prize-winning humorist Art Buchwald, who entered a hospice last year to die but survived to write a humorous yet sobering book about facing death, well, he has died now at the age of 81. Buchwald's six-decade career began when chronicling life in Paris before he moved to the United States to lampoon U.S. politics and culture from Washington. They say that laughing for 15 minutes a day can help you lose weight. Scientists have discovered a daily dose of giggling can burn off up to 5 pounds of fat a year. Researchers in the United States found that the amount of energy used for laughing for 15 minutes is about the same needed to walk a half a mile. You know, oil prices briefly fell below $50 a barrel Thursday, first time since May 25th of 2005, after the government reported larger-than-expected jumps in crude oil and gasoline inventories. But when are we going to see this drop at the pump? Maybe never. Who knows? In a moment, Matt Savinar joins us. He's an expert on oil. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Matt Savinar, he's been on the program before. He's a California licensed attorney. He has a bachelor's degree in political science from the University of California, Davis, a law degree from the University of California at Hastings College of Law. He is the author and administrator of LifeAfterTheOilCrash.net, which explains his theory of global peak oil, its ramifications, and what we can do to address it. He's our guest on Coast to Coast. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm good, George. I just wanted to correct one thing. You called me an expert on oil. I'm trained as an attorney. I make my living as a journalist and a publisher about these issues. I don't know that I could necessarily qualify as a quote-unquote expert.
Well, we're going to call you an expert. Yeah. You've been on to talk about oil on this program enough. That's good enough for me. But, oil prices continue to drop barrel-wise. Why haven't we seen the same kind of drop at the pump, Matt?
Well, if you are a gasoline retailer, what people don't understand is the gasoline retailers are not necessarily in cahoots with the people at the top of the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a retailer, you don't know if the wholesale price is going to go up or down, in, say, a week from now or 2 weeks from now, whenever you're going to get your next deliveries in. So the price at the retail has to lag a little bit because that guy, usually a small-time operator, has to make sure he's got enough money to pay for the next round of deliveries that might be higher than what the price is right now.
Yeah, but why is it when the price goes up barrel-wise, we immediately see within a day or so an increase at the pump? It should work in the same, right?
Well, no, because again, think about what I just said. That guy, the guy who owns the gas station that you go to every day, if the price jumps up, like let's say the Bush tax Iran price goes to $100 a barrel.
Yeah, tomorrow.
The next deliveries that come in, he's going to have to pay a lot more money for that. So he's got to get the prices up immediately. Now, if the wholesale price drops, the poor guy who is just owns that one gas station, he's sitting there thinking to himself, okay, I'd like to lower my prices to, keep the customer happy. But if I lower it, and in that wholesale, the price of oil, which is controlled more by people like Goldman Sachs than it is by somebody like him, if the price goes up, then he hasn't kept his price high, he's not going to be able to afford that next delivery, and he goes out of business.
Well, it sounds like, though, they win regardless that the consumer gets the short end
of
the stick.
Well, the small-time retailer who owns the gas station doesn't necessarily win. Their profit margins are notoriously low. Ultimately, the people at the top of the entire sort of oil banking system we'll figure out a way to win. They've been figuring out ways to win on the way up ever since 1859, and they're figuring out ways to win now that we're kind of at the peak. And they'll probably be figuring out ways to win 50 and 100 years from now when we're producing, you know, 10 or 20% of what we're producing today. But you shouldn't really be blaming the most of the folks who own the gas stations. They're franchisees, just like, you know, people who own fast food restaurants or anything else. That's not really the person that you should, you know, be directing any anger at.
Well, I'm not directing any anger at anybody, Matt. You know that.
Well, I know, but you kind of know what I'm getting at. People want to blame, you know, they want to blame.
Well, that's because the retailer's the front line for the consumer.
Now, don't get me wrong. There are people to blame, and there's all sorts of, you know, there's all sorts of manipulations that are going on right now. But I'm just telling people, you know, don't start throwing rocks at the poor guy who owns the gas station.
All right, here's the question then. You know, we've seen oil go from about $80 a barrel down to 50. When are we going to see a major significant drop in that? I mean, that's $30 a barrel. That is a huge percent. When are we going to see that kind of a drop?
You mean another drop that big?
Yeah. Oh, no. But when are we going to see it at the retail pump? I mean, it's still.
That, you know, I don't. Unfortunately, I don't know. So I'm sort of surprised that the price is as low as it is right now, given the geopolitical situation. I think there's a lot of shenanigans going on behind the scenes to keep the price low, maybe to collapse the Iranian government so we can move in and grab what's left there.
I have heard that rumor. Jerry Corsi believes that that's one of the main reasons. You're absolutely right that this could be a false drop. It's also to squeeze the Russians for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know about the Russian thing. I haven't studied up on that too much, but it's certainly possible because I know you don't believe in peak oil, but if you anybody who has to make their money from discovering oil, like the big oil companies, they do believe in peak oil. And if they can get the Iranian government out and a more friendly government in, they'll get the contracts for those oil fields, just like they're getting Iraq has been opened up. And if they want to stay big oil companies, they need to grab the last handful of big oil fields in the world, and those are in Iraq and Iran. And this might be an attempt at, you know, like you said, lowering the price to get their Iranian government to collapse so they can move in and grab what's left.
Very, very coy on their part, isn't it?
It is, and it's not the first time this sort of thing has happened. The Soviet Union, this is one of the swiftest, coyest moves in history. The average person has no idea about this, but Reagan in the 80s, Soviet Union was completely dependent on, not I can say completely dependent, heavily dependent on oil revenues.
Right.
He got Saudi Arabia to flood
the market.
The market. Oil dropped down to $10 a barrel. And then he had this arms race going with the Soviet Union, and they couldn't finance that because their oil production had peaked in 1987. And the CIA had a report back in 1977 predicting that Russia's oil production would peak in 1987. They got Saudi Arabia to flood the market, brought the price down, and Soviet Union collapsed in 1989.
Now, brilliant economic warfare.
From a short-term perspective, yeah. If you were to say to me in terms of if the single goal was to collapse the Soviet Union, that was ingenious.
Without losing a soldier.
Correct. Now, long-term, there's some consequences because in order for Saudi Arabia to flood the market, they had to have what you call a spurious revision in their oil reserves. The OPEC has a set of quotas where the amount of oil that an OPEC country can sell is pegged to the amount they report in reserves. So in order for Saudi Arabia to flood the market, they had to say they had way more oil than they actually do. Then all the other OPEC countries, they all came up with these spurious reversions where they just found all this oil out of nowhere.
Right.
And it was all basically, you can look at the charts and you're like, well, how do they discover all this oil out of nowhere, and you know it doesn't even add up.
So they make these huge estimates for their reserves.
Right, and now the problem is the entire global economy has sort of assumed that those numbers were correct. So short term, it was ingenious, but here we are almost 20 years later, and people still think Saudi Arabia has 263 billion barrels. They may not have anywhere near that amount, and if they don't, then we're all in a lot of trouble. So,
about a year or so ago, they talked about this incredible oil find in the Gulf of Mexico, oil down there that could dwarf what Saudi Arabia has.
No, it's actually, I've got this on the front page of my site. If you scroll down near the bottom, that find was between 3 billion and 15 billion barrels. The world uses 30 billion barrels a year. So even if that is the optimistic end of that estimate, 15 billion barrels is true, that's only a six-month supply, which means that only puts the peak off by 3 months. Furthermore, that find was 5 miles below the ocean. Big oil companies would not be looking for oil 5 miles below the ocean if there was oil left in any, you know, less geographically challenging areas.
Now, let me ask you a question too, Matt, you know, because, you know, we do differ a little bit on peak oil, but you're a great guest and you bring a refreshing view, and you could be right. You know, I'm not the kind of person to jump up and down and say, I'm right, or
right.
Jerome Corsi's right. But in this case, you know, I'm also a believer that the planet creates its own oil. A lot of people, yourself included, believe that it's fossil fuels. If it's fossil fuels, how could it get 5 miles under the ocean floor? How does it get down there that far?
Well, you would have to talk to somebody who's actually made their money from knowing. And I can actually put you in contact with an ex-Navy man named Byron King. He's a practicing attorney today, but he was in the Navy. He writes for Whiskey and Gunpowder, and like you, he served in the Navy. And he can explain to you, as a former exploration geologist, exactly how the fossil, you know, how exactly the, you know, the oil is formed, and he can go in detail. Me, I believe in what I call the show me the oil theory.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes like this, George. There are 40,000 oil fields in the world. None of them have shown any signs of replenishing. So even if your abiotic oil theory, and it really is just your theory and Jerome Corsi,
there's that scientist who passed on.
Right, he was an astrophysicist. Again, if you talk to anybody who has to put food on the table from finding oil, like Byron King did, they will tell you that the abiotic oil theory is total bunk. And in fact, it's probably oil company propaganda, because they need to convey an atmosphere of abundance. Because if people believe the way I believe, they're going to do things like what I've done, which is give up ownership of a car, take the money you save that with that, and invest it in precious metals. And that's obviously a bad thing for the sort of the oil/banking cartel that controls our lives.
Well, yeah, but if you convince people not of abundance but of shortage, you're going to get higher prices. And even though you may secretly know you're going to have as much oil as you ever need, isn't that the way they should do it? Trick us?
Well, no. What they do is the oil company's share price, the number one thing that determines it, is how much they have in reserve. So what they could do is say, find some huge, vast supply of oil, say we've got that in reserve, they don't have to bring that to the market. That jacks up their share price. That keeps, and that's what, you know, controls who is, you know, successful in the market and who's not.
And I guess that shows up as an asset on their balance sheet?
Exactly. And just as an example, like Shell, for instance, got hit with, I believe, a $500 million fine by the SEC. Again, this is on my site. You can go check it yourself. I mean, if you want to check all the background and whatnot, because they had overbooked the reserves. Again, because in order to keep the share price high, you have to convey an atmosphere of abundance. And, George, I really encourage, like, if you go to my site right now and you click, you go and you look in the upper right-hand corner, I've got a link to a debunking of abiotic oil.
Well, I don't argue with your reasoning at all. I mean, it's just that we all have our own views. And like I said, you could be right.
Yeah. I'll just say it again, 40,000 fields, none of them are replenishing. You know, so even if your theory is correct, it's not really doing us any good in the real world. And I'm not trying to rub it in your face or anything, but it's a really, really important issue. If you and I were to sit down and talk, 99 of 100 issues, we would be in complete agreement.
Maybe time for another roundtable discussion, Matthew, on oil, huh?
It very well could be.
All right. I get you and Corsi. Would you debate him, wouldn't you?
I'd be glad to.
All right. Well, we'll probably do something like that. Matt, thanks for the update on this. I still want to see it plummet at the pumps, but I'm not so sure it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, we all want to see that.
All right.
We're all dependent on
it. Thanks. So. That's Matt Sevenar. If you want to get up to his website, it's lifeafterTheOilCrash.net. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And he believes in the peak oil theory and presents truly, I think, a brilliant stand on why he believes that. Now, we're going to have open lines for you for the rest of this half hour. So whatever on your mind, just fire away. Here are phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. The first-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. You can email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. Just keep ringing. Tommy will get to you. He's a little slow right now. He's kind of limping down the hallway. Indeed it is. Hey, the January issue of the After Dark newsletter is out, but you will get it with your subscription. It's on predictions, and it's a great one. I'm not going to tell you what the predictions are. You'll have to read all about it in After Dark. But when you get that order, we're going to give you two old shows, Art Bell interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin. One of them we found way down buried in some boxes. It's a classic. Both shows free. Just our way of saying thank you when you subscribe to After Dark. You just pay a nominal shipping and handling fee. Call 1-888-727-5505. That's 3-8s. 1-888-727-5505. Or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. Open lines continue in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. A couple months ago, I got an engineer by the name of Wayne Roberts who works with us. And I had thought, when they were telling me he was coming to work for us, that his name was Wayne Rogers. And so I thought the guy from MASH had joined our staff. It wasn't him. Let's go to our phones. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually in Jackson, Mississippi, but I live in Sparta, North Carolina. My name's Nathan.
All right, Nathan, what's on your mind?
First, just let me say it's a pleasure to speak with you, sir.
Thank you.
I have a question. My father died in 2001, and it was maybe 2 years after that in the place I used to live in. Me and my girlfriend, we took some pictures, and neither one of us smoke. And in a couple of them, there's some very strange smoky stuff, and you know, it's in the shape of a person. And in one of them, my father's face is in the TV.
You can see, and you're sure it's him, right?
Yeah, it's very plain. It freaked both of us out, and I was wondering if you know, I could get somebody to take a look at
that. Well, we'd love to see it. Now, do you have a scanner? Do you have that capability, or do you need a hard address to get us some pictures?
Probably a hard address would be best.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to put you on hold. Tommy, take that wild card line. Get his address. We'll give you our address. And then get those pictures to us. We'll scan them. We'll get them up to Lex. And Lex, who is the master of the website, will take a look at them. International line, where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast.
Oh, hi, George. I'm calling from Mississauga, which is just outside Toronto, Ontario.
Sure thing. Canada. Hi there.
How you doing? It's a real honor to talk to you. Oh, there's so many different stories I want to tell you, but the one I mentioned to your screener was there's a big story today in the National Post about how the scientists in Winnipeg, which is in Western Canada, uh-huh, have found the key to the 1918 flu.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are they going to do with it? I hope nothing happens here. Some mistake, some plague gets out and gets us.
Well, let's hope the hell not. But the main thrust of the article is all about why it was so virulent and why it was so deadly.
Well, what do they say?
They said that they turns the immune system into overdrive, flooding the lungs with fluids that drown its victims.
Interesting.
And that's why it affected so many healthy people.
Yeah, I know. It was devastating.
Well, there's a huge article in the National Post, which I'm sure you can find it online, nationalpost.ca.
All right, great. I'll take a look at that. As I was scanning yesterday, I saw something about the flu, but it didn't seem like it was anything imminent, so I didn't jump at that one. I'll go back and take a look at it. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Is this George?
hold on. Let's check. Yep, he's the only one here.
Hi, my name's Kim. I'm from California.
Sure.
I'm wondering, you know how you always see the number 111?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I always see the name Sarah. Oh, everything I do, you know, it just always seems to pop up. Do you think that there's any kind of significance with that?
Well, maybe you were Sarah in another life, possibly. Maybe a Sarah is going to come into your life and affect it in some form or fashion. How long have you been seeing this?
You know what? Probably I would say about 6 months at least.
Do you know a Sarah?
No, I don't even know a Sarah.
Well, I think you're just going to have to wait it out and see what happens. It is strange that you would see a name.
I see it everywhere, you know, like somebody left a message, Sarah. Sarah this, Sarah that. Everything Sarah is just weird. Also, have you ever heard of The Secret?
The movie?
Have you about the positive thinking?
Yeah.
Okay, The Secret. How come you don't have anybody over there, you know, coming out, or you don't interview anybody from there?
How do you know I haven't?
Well, because I listen to you every night.
As a matter of fact, I think they're working
on that. Unless I fall asleep.
Well, that's possible. I think they're working on that. As a matter of fact, that crossed my desk last week.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's move on. Let's see. Where do we go next? Let us go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, George.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. My name is Steven from Orange. I was wondering what you thought of Chris Angel, Mind Freak. I've seen this guy do all kinds of crazy stuff on the TV.
I think the guy's fantastic. As a matter of fact, we were going to try to get him in here in February. He can't make it. But the next time beyond that he's in Los Angeles, he's coming into our studio. I think he is a tremendous illusionist. Magician, call him whatever you want, but this guy is good.
Do you think it's magic or metaphysics?
Boy, you were breaking up right at the end a little bit. Well, sure, I think there's a part of magic there. I think there's a great part of illusion. I mean, I've seen this guy stick his hand through someone's chest from the back. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and you look at it and you go, wow, how did he do that? I want to get him in the studio just to have him try those out on my engineers. You're not going to try it out on me in the event what he does is real. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Bob from Burbank.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, I called you on, it was November 6th prior to elections. And remember I was talking about the too close to call a vote?
Yes.
He asked me to follow up. I followed up, and then I included. I said, if the Democrats get some seats, you're going to see a mysteriously decline in the price of oil.
Yeah, well, we haven't seen the mysterious decline in the retail price yet, but you're right about the barrel.
Yes, I've been predicting stuff for a long ways. My mom even called in and predicted about 9/11. She's just so good. Before that even happened.
It's genetic, isn't it, Bob?
It sure is. It's freaky. You know what I noticed about that? If you really are a non-prejudicial person and you really don't have fear or any bad feelings about anybody or anything, it really comes to you that way.
Absolutely.
It's really bizarre.
Absolutely. When you start surrounding yourself in negativity, it shuts down all that.
Exactly. So if you're pure and clean and you're good and a decent person, it just comes to you and you can help others with it. It's a great tool.
Well, not all of us are totally pure and clean, but not bad.
Try to be the best.
That's right. I'm not going to throw the first stone. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Maybe the second.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's just sort of funny. I don't remember. You can hear a little second here of what you talked to me.
Now, do you think both parties are tampering? No. What's going on right now here is you have one party controlling the country, the government, okay?
I've got my own log of old shows with you.
Yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was November 6th.
That was it.
Yeah, and you're stating that both parties are involved in this. But like I said, what's going to happen is the investigations are going on behind the tables. They don't want a national incident taking place. What's going to happen is oil is going to be the price is going to drop at the pumps, and it's going to go down to get this 99 cents slowly. It'll get down to there, and people are going to freak out. You know, after a while, they're going, how could it go $3 when the Republicans are in power, and then Democrats are in control of the Senate, and it's going down that far.
I wonder how far more do you think it's going to go? It's hovering at 50.
Yeah. Well, actually, it hit 49. Washington Post just said it's about $49 a barrel today. Well, actually, we're at a 20-month low right now. And since it's a 20-month low since May of 2005. So the barrel should probably drop down to about, you know, I play the stock market, so you can imagine how much fun I'm having.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're looking at probably it's going down to probably about maybe $46 a gallon.
It's going to level off right around there?
Yeah, and then we'll start seeing the prices at the pump start going down. Slowly we'll start seeing prices about $1.89 a gallon. It'll hold at that price, $1.89.
I know, premium in Los Angeles is $2.75 still. I mean, it really hasn't gone down that much.
Yeah, but it will go down. Just like, remember when the gas prices went up dramatically, and then the price of barrel of oil was still at $21 a gallon?
Right.
You know, so there is like a little delay there before okay. one affects the other.
All right, Bob, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our third wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, Georgia. Brian in Oceanside, California.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, with all the talk about the doomsday clock, have you ever had a guest discussing what it translates into years and how much time we have left? You know, they're saying end is near.
They don't. You know, during my local show many years ago in St. Louis, I interviewed somebody from the Bulletin, and they don't know when. All they know is events are putting us closer to. You know, this was the first pop, I think, since 2002. And, you know, that's getting real close now. It's 5 minutes to midnight.
Right. I thought it was the last jump since the Cold War ended, which I thought was earlier than that, but you could be right. I was wondering, have you ever had dreams about World War III?
No, I have not.
Oh, you know, it's weird. I had a lot of them.
And you may be right. It may be beyond that. I thought I read 2002,
well, yeah.
but it could be before that.
But real quick, when I was younger, I used to have a lot of dreams about World War III, really vivid ones. And then, ironically, when the Berlin Wall fell and, you know, the Cold War ended, they stopped for about a decade. And then now they're back.
They're back.
And I mean it full force. It's ironically, my first thought is I want to get to my parents, you know, and just, like, be with them, you know.
Well, when you dream of World War III, what are you dreaming? Tell me what it's like.
Basically, it's a variety of situations, but I just see mushroom clouds, and the feeling is just overwhelming, like I'm sure when it actually happens, you know, because I feel like once that happens, this is not going to be worth living, you know, even if it's fairly limited. It's just going to be horrendous, the aftermath and all that. But the thing is, recently, I can actually feel the radiation, and of course, I don't know what radiation feels like. I have no idea. But I mean, just everything is heavy, and I just walk around watching people die. And
I'm not sure you can feel radiation until it's too late.
I don't think you can. I'm not really sure about that. But I don't know. It's just pretty strange that they've come back. But, you know, real quick, you remember when the Cold War ended and they were disarming West Germany? They were taking the missiles out. And what they were doing was they were actually destroying the delivery systems, but they were saving the warheads just in case.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there. And where are you?
Hey, George. This is Gunner from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, sir. WTAM World, making us number one in Cleveland.
You got it, man.
Yep.
I was just curious if you heard anything. I heard like two or three days ago on the news a story about the lost NASA videos being found.
Some of them were found, and I think it was in Australia, but there are still many boxes that have been missing. They haven't found them all at all.
All right. I heard the story. I thought it was like in a basement somewhere, and I thought they were talking about the videos they were missing from the moon.
Not all of them, just a few of them.
All right. I was just wondering if you heard about that.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, I'm the guy that sent you those two files, those music files, the harmonica music. I hope you like
them. Okay, great. Hey, thank you.
You take care now.
Appreciate that. Let's, because I am quite an accomplished harmonica player now. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hello.
Yes, George.
Hi, sir.
Yes, I'm Chris from Cairo, Georgia.
Yeah, Chris.
I was going to see what you think about this. The other night I was sitting here, I'm a security guard.
Okay.
And there was a gray figure out near the pond out here where I secure. And it seemed to, like, walk across the top of the water.
You sure it wasn't like a fog or a mist?
It was like it was almost in the shape of a person.
Yeah, well, it could be ectoplasm, which, you know, is part of the spirit. Did anything ever happen out there, do you know?
Not that I know of.
Somebody drowned in the pond or something?
As far as I know, I've been here, working here only a year. And
so you're there, you're all by yourself, it's at night, and you see this thing going right across the pond.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about it was the car came up, and with his headlights on, whenever the headlights hit the figure, it just vanished.
almost like it spotted the light and it was gone.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's weird. First, the first thing I would say, I always like to look at the real possibilities first. And when I say real, I mean physical. That it could be, you know, like mist or a fog or something. But if you rule that out, and you were the only one out there to see it, then it's got to be something supernatural. But I wouldn't worry about it. I definitely wouldn't panic. He's frozen stiff there. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Larry in San Bernardino.
Hi.
I just finished reading Hunt for Skinwalker. It was quite interesting. And Calm has a several paragraphs on parallel universes, et cetera. I think we already experienced three or four in our journey. Before we come here as one dimension, this life is a dimension. If you have an out-of-body experience, and before you go to the light at the end of the tunnel, that's one dimension. And then the light at the end of the tunnel is another dimension, which conceivably can be the same as the dimension before we come here.
I wish we could remember all these various dimensions, and you may be right.
And there are various religious groups that believe there's a number of dimensions in the afterlife.
Yeah, well, I think there are, too. How many, I do not know. One of the things we'll ask Greg Braden about when he comes in next hour is these various dimensions and what is out there. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Wildcard line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I was just telling Colby a minute ago about the pictures. I was just waiting to get the address there.
You want our address?
Yeah, your screener said he was going to get back to me. Yeah, I've just been hanging out.
Are you telling me you've been on hold for almost an hour waiting for Tom to pick you up so we can get the address to you? I am publicly apologizing on behalf of the network and the millions of people who work here for Tom's incompetence.
Oh, it is no problem. I just talked to you.
He's too busy IMing his girlfriends to pick up the phone. I'm going to put you on hold, and he now has my attention, and so he'll take care. Now, keep in mind, folks, that Tom is the same guy who killed my plant when I was back in St. Louis and has done a number of other things. Some people have said, hey, George, you know, with your dog Casey, you know, the one that you're feeding the Purina food to, why don't you bring Casey to L.A. when you come back, and Tom can watch. No way would I have Tom even get close to a puppy because he'd forget to feed it or he'd do something like that. It's just not going to happen. He is so embarrassed right now. I have never seen him. Sweat is coming down from his one eyebrow, and he just can't take it. He's fuming, too. He's standing up. He's yelling at me. He's behind a glass panel, so he can't hear. I can't hear him, but I'm telling you, I have never seen him that way. And it's not our fault. I mean, he's the one who kept you on hold for this long. So we'll take care of you, I promise. Right around the corner is Greg Braden. I put something in the water today. Everybody's feeling a little happy. It's about time. So we'll be back in a moment. I'm George Norrie. Get ready for Coast to Coast AM.